2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and in high favor, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Now the Syrians, on one of their raids, had carried off a little girl from the land of Israel, and she worked in the service of Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "Would that my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria. He would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord, "Thus and so spoke the girl from the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you Naaman, my servant, that you may cure him of his leprosy." And when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive? This man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy. Only consider and see how he is seeking a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come now to me, that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman was angry and went away, saying, "Behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. But his servants came near and said to him, "My father, it is a great word the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? Has he actually said to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. So this word of the Lord we hear today. The man was in a rage. Why was he in a rage? What brought him out of it? But his servants came near and said to him, "My father, it is a great word the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? Has he actually said to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" He reminded him of the word of the Lord, a simple and powerful word, and just asked him, like, "Are you not He's kind of saying to him, are you not amazed that just by doing such a simple little thing, you can be changed? He's looking at the world. Naaman was. Looking at the way things are, looking at what he expects. Looking at what he's used to. He's not used to seeing the simple power of the awesome Word of God. And if we knew the simple power of the awesome Word of God, we wouldn't take it for granted. Maybe he's looking at the Jordan River and thinking, you know, that river, it might be looking a little muddy there, you know, and maybe it's not quite as impressive as some of the rivers I've seen before. But when God says, that's my place, this is a holy moment, there's power. So step into the water. Way out a little bit deeper. I remember, I think it was you, lady, when you were getting baptized, and you're getting baptized, I think I remember maybe sweeping some of the algae away. And thinking, this is the moment when we proclaim in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by God's grace and mercy, this is a new, clean, holy life. So before I do that, let me just move some of the algae out of the way. And you know, somebody could say, I'm not stepping in that water. But it's a holy moment and a powerful moment where God does something new in you. The Ancient of Days does something awesome and new in you. And all you need to do is be humble enough to do it. You ever think about how humble it is for you? Especially if you have ability and resources and a full schedule for the day. Do you realize what a humble, simple thing it is for you in the first thing of the day to open up your Bible, sit down, discipline yourself, and say, there is a ton of things that I could do. I want to do them. I'm ready to go, but I'm not going. Because I'm going to sit at the feet of my master, knowing that if I do the simple thing, I will be blessed miraculously, daily, as he gives me my daily bread. You know? You ever think of that? And at the time when you say, huh, and kind of slough it off and get working on your day, it's kind of you not doing the humble thing, but humility is what we're talking about today. And humility is what Naaman needed. Simple, powerful things going on. Elisha doesn't want this guy's money, all the stuff he's bringing. He wants glory for God. And he doesn't even want glory for himself. And he doesn't want to go along with all the gimmick type stuff of the world either. He thought he would just wave his hand over something. And he's like, isn't it something that he comes such a far way, such a long way, so much he's carrying with him, so much, and he comes such a long way, comes to meet this man of God, and he sends him a message. And I think that probably felt like an insult. But somebody got him to think, you know, this thing that feels like an insult, he just told you you're going to be healed of a skin disease, which for you, Naaman, could be fatal. As it gets worse and worse and worse,
It's going to separate you from people. People are not going to want to get close to you. But all of a sudden, God has just turned things upside down. Your skin's going to be like a baby's. If you can stop whining like a baby and just do the simple thing that God tells you to do, there's blessing if you just do the simple thing God tells you to do. So, I share about the devotions because the simple thing God tells you to do might be getting your life ready and together and fit and healthy for God to use. If you've already done that, there might be some other little thing that you need to do for the blessing, for the miracle to happen. And I'm not telling you I know what that is. You might know what that is. But if you're reading His Word, you're praying, what is God saying? This is the simple thing I'm asking you to do, and it's so simple that you put it away, and you maybe haven't done it for a long time. Or maybe it's something that's simple, but it's hard. Like God says, you know what? I want you to trust me. I want you to get rid of this thing from your life. Oh, you know what? I want you to trust me. I want you to give this gift. You know, I want you to trust me. I want you to call that person up. And I want you to say, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Call that person up. Yeah. But they've even forgotten about it. God says, I haven't. It's a simple thing. Do it. What simple thing? Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Humility is a beautiful thing. How many in this congregation are really very humble people? Raise your hand.
I'm proud of it.
I'm humble, brother. Mark chapter 7, verse 24 to 30 says this. And from there he arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. But immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Wow. You know, there's still demons trying to mess people up in this world today, you know? You wonder how much of what goes along with children these days is actually demonic stuff going on, you know? It takes some humility for a parent to even admit that, doesn't it? But haven't we all fought? I don't even want to say our demons. You're not owning anything, but haven't you all fought the demons out there? So anyway, this woman, I mean, it almost makes me kind of like get all emotional too when I just read the word. Because I am a father of three children. I even told Lisa recently when we visited one of our daughters, I said, I really miss raising those little kids, you know? Especially when you see your grandkids, you know? You want your kids to treasure those moments. How I was just talking to my one daughter who's going to the Ark and going to just taking a road trip with their family. It's going to be a week or so, and just talking to her how to appreciate the trip, because what a special trip that is. Just don't miss it, you know? So when I read those words, you get kind of emotional when you say, but immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now, the woman was a Gentile. So already, she's a woman approaching a rabbi. No. She's a Gentile. No.
And then we'll go on. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth. Phoenicia, that area, is controlled by Syria at that time. It's like part of that place. So now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth. And she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Now, the one commentary I was looking at on this was like, they said, well, this is not like the scavenging kind of dog roaming the streets. This is the dog, like, it's the family pet that kind of cleans up the stuff that you just spilled something on the ground, you know, and come lick this up, dog, so I don't have to get the Swifter out, you know, whatever. So the commentary said, so it's not the scavenging dog, it's kind of like the family dog, right? And I was reading the commentary. I understand what the writer of the commentary is saying, but I think there's a lot of things that commentators and other people do to try to soften up stuff. Okay? I think you still need to feel it. He's calling her a dog. He's calling her a dog, and you got to get out of your mind the kind of froofy kind of world that we live in. When we got a dog that we love and appreciate so very much, our dog Verity has been such a blessing in our lives. But when we got the dog, Lisa and I established it. I am not going to be a doggy daddy. This is not a child. We're not going to call it a child. I am not going to say, I'm not going to have a sticker on the, if you do, okay, I am so happy that you are happy. But I'm not going to have a sticker on the back of my car that says, you know, this is a picture of my grand pup. No, that's not going to happen, okay? Because it is a dog. And if the dog annoys me, I say, "Dog, get!" And the dog gets, all right? Because dogs and people are different. In fact, if I ever say anything to my wife that is close to the timbre of how I talk to the dog, she said, "What'd you say? Did you just talk to me like so?" Because there's lines. There are animals and there are people. All right? So I hope I have not severely offended anyone with what I just said, but there are lines. There are people and there are animals. They are not the same thing. That being said, Jesus calls this one a dog. Because she's putting her, and people aren't comfortable with this either, she's putting her in her place. He is putting her in her place. But I want you to see the grace and the mercy of it all there too, because she has a place. She has a place, and it's a place that's going to open up in glory. Because it was too small a thing for Jesus to come to save the Jewish people. He also came as a light to the Gentiles, and we ride on the coats of the blessings of the Jewish people to become spiritual Jews ourselves, to become part of God's Israel that he loves so very much. And so God's telling this woman that you are important, but this is not your time. I've come first to the lost sheep of Israel. You need to wait. And that time, this time, is also a time when I'm putting you in your place and perhaps testing you a bit. God just kind of pricking a little bit at her. I think maybe even drawing out that faith that he sees in her. And this woman who is called a dog is just about to get one of the greatest commendations, one of the greatest accolades, one of the greatest compliments that Jesus gives in scriptures. And he gives two compliments, really. And both of them are to Gentiles. Which is interesting. He comes to the Jewish people, the people who are so full of the knowledge of God, so studying the scriptures and everything, but they have taken it all so much for granted, and they haven't been looking for Jesus like they should. That is the Gentiles who see how wonderful Jesus is. And here, look at this. And he said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Like Naaman, at first she could have been like, "The nerve!" But no. Here's what she says. After he says, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Why did she say that? Well, one plain and simple thing you understand is parents, right? She was desperate. She loves her daughter. She knows. She's heard what this guy's done. She has hope. She wants to, in a sense, touch the edge of his garment. She wants that hope fulfilled. She sees Jesus. She wants to reach out and touch him in some way. And also, in some humble way, she understands her place in history. That she's a Gentile. God came to the Jews, but she also knows that God, maybe she even understands what the people in the perspectives class were trying to get pounded into them. That the Jewish people are blessed to be a blessing, not as an end in themselves. Just like you are blessed to be a blessing, not to be an end in yourself. Just like if you want healing, spiritual, emotional, physical, relational, occupational, financial, if you want all these different kind of healings in your life, humility is the way to go, but also humility on the way in and humility on the way out. I mean, like if you ask God, "Oh, God, bless you, heal you with physical strength," and then you use all that strength for yourself and none for others. "God, bless your finances. Oh, finally, we could pay off our mortgage and everything," and you don't care anything about anybody else in the world who can't even feed themselves. Should you expect a healing for your finances if your life is like the Dead Sea? It all flows in, but nothing flows out. "Oh, Lord, please bless my work situation. Finally, it's good for me, but I'll still be crabby to everybody I meet when they come in through the door. Please, Lord, bless my relationships. Oh, it's all fine for myself now, but I won't help anybody else with their relationships. I won't be the answer with the things that I've learned." Lisa and I, it's like we hear about like marital troubles and different problems and people like just get in their own little zone and they stay and they just kind of like go in their cave and they just kind of suffer. It's like, we'd love people to talk to us. We've had years of raising children and challenges through that, and we know how to fight. We know how to make up too. We do both really well. We'd love to share what we know, but hardly anybody ever asks us for our opinion on anything. But you see what I mean? Humility on the way in and humility on the way out. That you're looking for the blessing because you take the low spot, you take a low place, and you're hoping to receive the blessing, and so you can give, and so you can be a blessing to others. This woman is an amazing woman, and I can say she's an amazing woman because it says in the scripture, verse 29, "And he said to her, 'For this statement you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter.' And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone." Jesus treasures this woman, and he is impressed with her faith. In fact, the great faith that he sees in her, he only sees one other place in the gospel. I mean, like one other, with one other person in the gospel, as far as we know, recorded wise. The great kind of faith that she has. And you know where that other place is? It's Luke chapter 7, verses 1 to 10 is one reference to it. The centurion. And I wanted to include it, even though it's not in your bulletin today, Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 10, I wanted to include it because it strikes such a powerful contrast to Naaman. Because remember, Naaman almost seemed to us insulted when he was like, he comes all this distance, and Elisha doesn't even come out to him. He just sends a message, go do this. The centurion, he wants a message. He doesn't even want a personal visit because he's trying to honor Jesus, and he's also trying to honor faith and believing in the authority that Jesus has. In fact, he believes so much in the authority of Jesus, it's like, you don't even have to come to my house. So you see the contrast with Naaman? I mean, it's like Naaman could have shown up at the door and said, the prophet had a word for me. If he would just say the word, I'll be healed and that'd be great and I'll be on my way home. But no, he comes out and expects him to do like something that to your mindset, to our mindsets, might be kind of like gimmicky, you know? We're praying for the Holy Spirit to fill this church with people who are discipled in Christ, disciples making disciples. That's going to be an active, vibrant church. And I think it already is vibrant, but I want to see it continue to be fruitful and everything. But the challenge is, how do we do that without being gimmicky, you know? Because we can just do everything to kind of appeal to the bells and whistles of the world out there. And there's a lot of churches that do that. But isn't it enough to honor God in the songs we sing, even trying to explain the theology and make sure we're getting the theology right? Isn't it good enough to have a good fellowship time where we're actually sharing our joys and concerns and loving each other and hopefully praying for each other throughout the week? Isn't it enough that we come forward and we read the scriptures and we preach the word of God and hopefully share some fellowship before we go back to our homes? And maybe even keep contact with each other throughout the week. Is it enough to just be the church that follows the word and loves each other without smoke, mirrors, bells, whistles, things that just appeal to the culture today? You know, I don't remember the last time I used a movie. I used to do that. I used to use movie clips because I was a real movie buff. Until eventually, I thought, like, why? Why am I doing that? I wouldn't even want them to watch the whole movie, even sharing that clip. Why do I want to ask Hollywood to help out with something? Why isn't the Word of God just enough? So I'll use something on video every once in a rare while, but I don't, mostly just because I think the Word of God preached from a heart that I pray is seeking after Him, that should be enough. And so I just wait for the Holy Spirit to give the increase, to give the blessing. Naaman, he was looking for bells and whistles, but his servants calmed him down and said, you know what, you got a simple word. A simple word, a beautiful word that's going to bring you out of that place of illness. Won't you receive it? Won't you just do the simple thing? After he had finished all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. Now a centurion had a servant who was sick and at the point of death, who was highly valued by him. when the centurion heard about Jesus. He sent to him elders of the Jews, asking him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they pleaded with him earnestly, saying, "He is worthy to have you do this for him, for he loves our nation, and he is the one who built us our synagogue." Isn't that wonderful? Scriptures, there's so many different connections. When I'm reading that, just in my mind, it's like, reminds me of the people like letting down their friend through the roof, you know? Their faith to let their friend down there, like their faith helped carry him to Jesus. And it's just, even though this guy is saying, "You don't have to come to my roof," these people are kind of saying, "Jesus, do this for him." They're like pleading on behalf. Do you ever think about the prayer request that we offer up on a Sunday morning is not gossip? It's something that throughout the week you're going to be saying, "Oh Lord, I just heard Bob has an appointment in July. Oh Lord, it's a sooner appointment. Lord, let that be a miraculous appointment, Lord. Bring him out of the woods totally on that, Lord, that he can finally have confidence and breathe fresh and free air in you, Jesus." You know, it's like, do you ever think that? Like throughout the week, you're going to be pleading. You're going to be pleading, bringing somebody to Jesus. That's what I think about, stuff like that. "He is worthy to have you do this." And when they came to Jesus, they pleaded with him earnestly, saying, "He is worthy to have you do this for him, for he loves our nation, and he is the one who built us our synagogue." And Jesus went with them. When he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends, saying to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but say the word and let my servant be healed. For I too am a man set under authority with soldiers under me, and I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turning to the crowd that followed him, said, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." And when those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the servant well. Faith. Just to believe the word of God. Just to believe the value of it, first of all. And then once you believe the value of it, to trust in God and his promises, to trust in the things that he says so clearly. And you know, like, I started writing down, I was trying to think about, like, simple things that I would tell you, like, here's some things that you need to do. You need to, but I thought, you're going to know that better than I do. If you're reading the Word, you know what it is. It's like a knot. And you can pull all the different strings that you want, and it's going to get tighter and tighter. But there's one string to pull that all of a sudden things come loose. It's like a log jam. You keep on working on it and it's all mixed up. But there's one log that you move and all of a sudden things flow right. You know? It could be something, like I said, just you starting off your day with the Lord. It could be something that's about your relationship with Jesus. Something simple you need to do about that. Or it could be something about a relationship with somebody else. It could be something about a sin, an addiction, a bitterness. How many church people have just been taken off the playing field? They've been benched because they've allowed the devil to work in their heart with bitterness. So they're benched. They might do some cheering on the sidelines, but they're taken out of the game because there's some simple thing they didn't do. Maybe it was even just saying, "You know what? I forgive you." Maybe a person who they had never even asked for forgiveness. Maybe it's somebody who's already gone on to their time of reckoning. But you still need to say to God, "You know what, Lord? I give that person to you. Because I want to go on with you. And live a life that represents healing in a lot of different places." So I want you to ask yourself this week, What are the simple things that God wants you to do? One simple thing. Could be a few things, but maybe it's one simple thing for you to do that's going to be the humility that says, I believe God's word, I'm trusting in Him, by His stripes I'm healed. So think about those things. We always have, I always keep a bottle of extra virgin olive oil here up front. So whenever you want to come forward for healing, we can anoint you with oil and do the simple things that James talks to us about, that God told us through James. Have the elders of the church pray over the person. The prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. If he has sinned, the Lord will forgive him. No, we can always do that. It's almost a whole bottle, and I can run home and get more if you don't think this is quite enough. But I think it is enough, because just a little simple thing, just a little faith, can accomplish great things. Faith as small as a mustard seed. So believe in God, trust in Him, trust His word, and see what God would have you to do this week. Simple things to let your life reflect His power in this world. That when people see you, they see you as a clear individual that's ready to bless, because you've gone humble on the way in and you're humble on the way out, ready to receive and ready to share. Just like that Syrophoenician woman, just like that centurion, and just like Naaman after a little bit of coaxing. And then God will have you be fresh as a young child too. And wouldn't that be great? Spring in your step. Life and life abundant. Amen?
Amen.